Hello and welcome to episode number 383 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is November 13th, 2023. I am Rollo McFlugel, and with me is my co-host Slappy Jones. Show notes page for this episode is mcflugel.com/38. What are we, three? Yeah, I forgot what episode we were already. So we were just talking about something, not about the Eagles, actually. They're on bye. Flyers on a two-game win streak. Dispatching of the state of California. It was a couple weeks ago. I posed a question on Twitter and about what the definition of peruse was. And let me look it up because I want to see what the final title was. I forgot to talk about this, but I wanted to because it's interesting for a lot of reasons, I think.
Well, I saw your little poll and I participated. And the reason I knew the definition of peruse. The only reason I knew
lots of people think they know the definition of peruse.
At one time I thought I knew the definition and I forget why I looked it up, but I did. And it was the exact opposite of what I thought it meant. So I've never forgot. I can't quote Oxford here, but it was the exact opposite of what I always thought that word meant. So I did know when I saw your poll.
All right. So here's the poll. And I wrote, no cheating. Peruse means to. And the option to either quickly glance through or read through carefully. 68% of people said quickly glance through. 32% said read through carefully. So Slappy, you know the definition. What is the def? Yeah, what is it?
It's a very careful. My vocabulary is not that great. A careful, detailed look at the text.
Yes.
Not a quick, like I would think, peruse through the bookstore. It means like walk through, kind of look, but no, it means to carefully look.
Yes, that's what I thought, and I also thought I originally had thought the opposite, that it was just to quickly read through it, but. Curveball, Slappy. Someone in the comments, one or two people, actually said, like, actually, it means both. And if you look it up.
I think I saw that. And there is a change to the definition, I think.
They changed. I think, I don't know when this happened, but I think at some point, everyone.
They just gave up.
They just gave up. And they're like, all right, it means the opposite, too.
Yeah.
It means both.
Well, and I think we were also talking before about other things, and I'm pretty sure begging the question is also that way, where they just were like, all right, we throw my hands up in the air. It could mean expect the question or whatever.
Right. Which is interesting. I mean, because it's like language is basically a consensus.
Right. It didn't come like English didn't start when Webster's wrote his first dictionary.
But it was funny. It's funny how, like, you can be very confidently wrong about
stuff. They can. I don't know that we have ever been confidently wrong. But, yeah, so when you say you, you're talking about the listeners.
Obviously, we're always correct about anything we ever talk about. But at the same time, like, I was – it's funny. There were a couple people in the comments that were very proud of themselves for apparently knowing the right definition and looking down upon others. And that was not the point of the poll. It was just kind of fun. Because it's one of those, like there was I don't even know if he's alive or not, but there's been many times over the course of my life that I thought Keith Richards was dead.
I'm pretty sure he was dead since like 1982.
Right. And every time he'd pop up in the news for something, I'd be like, I didn't know he's still alive. Like, I don't know right now. I'm looking it up, see if he's alive or not.
I think he is, but.
He is. Yeah, he's still alive.
Like, I remember, like, I was a long time ago, 10 years old, 30 years ago, being like, man, Rolling Stones are really old.
Yeah.
Like, back when you just look at him, you're like, he's old.
But. Well, you know, it's funny. Back in 1970 was only 25 years ago.
I know.
And we're, what, 33 years away from 1995 right now?
Yeah, I know. I think of that, like, the when I was a kid listening to the Beatles, it was closer to 1970 than we are now to then. I'm like, man. And the yep. Beatles were, like, his ancient. Like, that mm-hmm. was oldies. That was old music.
Yeah, I was going to say that 1960 is now like 50 years ago, but it's now over 60.
We're pushing 65, yeah.
Yeah, it's that's wild. That's yeah, wild. Time
flies. Everyone always says it, all the old people. That's when you start realizing you're old.
Yeah, and it's hard to make, it's hard to adjust.
It is.
It gets ingrained in your head for some reason, and it's difficult to come out. Now, there was one guy in the comments of this poll that was like using this as an example to be like, oh, this is all these people are out voting.
Ugh.
And like, these people are idiots.
Hope they had fun wasting their time.
And it was like, oh, this just shows how ignorant people are. And like, no, it's just a fun Twitter poll. And I like specifically was just like, off the top of your head, what do you think? Like, there's no, and I get it, voting's stupid and people don't put any effort into it and everything. But
well,
like,
I thought Twitter polls are pretty scientific.
Yeah.
And it, you always by. Get honest answers. So nobody actually looked up the definition of the word when they voted.
I hope not, because that would have destroyed the fun of it. And here's the one thing. Like, well, I don't know. Was everyone who answered the poll, was everyone correct or was everyone incorrect?
I guess everyone was incorrect, technically.
Well, I don't know, because it's
no,
like,
because the definition of the word, it doesn't say, you didn't say the complete definition. You said
right
definition. Well, this is the definition.
Is this the definition of peruse? Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I guess everyone was correct. First time in the history of Twitter, I think, that everyone... No, except for the guy who was freaking out about voting in general. Let me find, because it was pretty stupid. One of us... I either blocked him or he blocked me, so I can't see... what it was. Oh well. But no, it was stupid. Where are we gonna go with this? Oh, so speaking of just things that everyone gets wrong. I finally started writing again, Slappy.
Wait, real quick, while we're on the peruse topic, get back to your writing. See an interesting little fact here. Peruse can mean to read something in a room.
You're breaking up. I didn't hear most of what you said.
Breaking up? That's got to be a lot.
What's going on there? I, like... hear bits and pieces, and you're kind of your audio's dropped out, like it's low. Like you're not coming through very loud. Still don't hear you. I don't know what's going on. Hold on, make sure. I just heard it. Well.
All right, I did say that. Can you hear me now?
Yep. You're just kind of soft.
Soft fella.
Well, like puppy poo.
All right. Well, anyway, I was going to say that peruse is known as a contronym. A word having two meanings that contradict one another. There are numerous examples in the including sanction, oversight, and dust.
Dust?
Dust.
I don't understand why dust would be a contronym.
If I gave you a bucket of dust and said, go dust the mantle.
Oh, okay. I see. Dust is a verb.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I never thought, like, sanction, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I sanction you. All right, what does that mean? That's why you need to use your context clues to understand what's going on.
That's right. So anyway, I thought that was interesting.
We can move on.
You were writing.
Yeah. Not anything big, but just like quick little things. Mostly because, you know, we're in the going back to the what looks like perhaps a bull market in Bitcoin. And so people are getting excited about it again. And there was an article on Bitcoin Magazine recently about...
You got the physical copy delivered to your door?
No, not this time. Hopefully they deleted me from their what's it called? It was about a guy who invested, like $1 a day or something? Or $5 every day into Bitcoin, dollar cost averaging. And just showing kind of what he pulled up. Showing what he did. And he was, you know, he did well. Let's see. $5 a day. So he spent a grand total of $1,825. And he ended up with about 0.076 Bitcoin at the end of it. And he got a plus 40% return. So that's pretty good. And the point of the article is show how strong dollar cost averaging is and everything. And I was looking at it and like, well, what happened if he just did a lump sum? And he just took $1,825, and bought it in the beginning. From day one, he just took that money and bought it. Well, he would have ended up with 0.086 Bitcoin. So he would have had like a 62% return. And that's assuming that he bought at the daily high, and his we calculated his return on the daily low a year later. So I was being extremely conservative about the numbers we were going with. And it's just funny that like dollar cost averaging just became this thing in the Bitcoin circles that it's like ubiquitous with how to buy Bitcoin. It's like, oh, everyone should be dollar cost averaging. It's the smart thing to do, blah, 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 blah. And I guess if you're someone that's like scared about Bitcoin or kind of bearish, then if that's what keeps you, you know, asleep at night, doesn't have you be freaked out or whatever, then okay, yeah, maybe do that. But if we're all talking about how we're such like Bitcoin, you know, bulls, and we think Bitcoin's going to go up in the long run, and Bitcoin, you know, we don't know, but like at any point, you know, this is going to be the lowest you're ever going to be able to get Bitcoin at, then why in the world are you delaying your purchase? Like, it doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm neutral on dollar cost. Just taking the price over a period.
You're breaking up again.
Okay. Well, if you can't hear me.
No, I got the gist of what you're saying. It's just you're breaking up again.
Yeah, that's going to be annoying if that's how it's coming through. So, I don't know what to do. I don't know why it's doing that.
You're probably dollar cost averaging your internet connection.
I do. I pay it on a daily, every day. Cable company takes money out of my bank account.
Yeah. But
and I didn't do it today, so.
Yeah. That's your problem. I mean, it's fine if that's what you want to do. All right. Like, but it's probably not optimal if you're trying to maximize your Bitcoin buying. Now it's funny because it was.
I have to run in real quick. Hang on. I mean, you can keep okay. going, but I.
Yeah, I'm going to keep going.
You're right. Back.
The other day someone made a comment about dollar cost averaging, and someone was like, "Well, 2 years ago, if you bought at the all time high of $60,000+, then you'd be in the red." That's like, cool. Like, thanks. Congratulations. You cherry picked the one spot where, not the one spot, but, you know, a time period in Bitcoin where, you're going to be down if you just bought, if you had an amount of money and you just bought the Bitcoin there. But that's just it. It's cherry picking. It's hindsight's 2020, obviously. If you had a crystal ball and knew exactly what the price of Bitcoin was going to be doing, then yeah, it would make sense to, you know, time the market. But we don't have crystal balls. We don't know what the price is going to do. And when 2 years ago we were at the all-time high, there were a lot of people that were calling that, it's going to go higher. It's going to go into 100. It's going to go into six figures. And they were all wrong. And there's no shame in saying that they're all wrong there, because we're, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We're all making guesses. But like, you know, it doesn't. It's not very impressive to pick one or two spots and be like, well, actually, if you bought here, you're in the red if you just did a lump sum. OK, that's great. That will change as Bitcoin monetizes, because that's the whole point here. I mean, we're saying that Bitcoin's going to become global money, and so it's going to appreciate, continue to appreciate in value. And so overall, the trend is going to be up. So if you're trying to maximize the amount of Bitcoin you have, all else equal, if you have money that you want to buy Bitcoin with, just put it all in right now. Don't delay that purchase. Of course, this is not financial advice. Do whatever you want. But it's just the nature of what's going on. It's just funny. It's just so funny to me that everyone talks about how, you know, bullish they are on stuff, and but then their purchasing of Bitcoin doesn't reflect that, because dollar cost averaging would make sense if you expect the price of Bitcoin to go down. But you're not really sure exactly how it's going to go down and when it might start going back up. So you don't buy it all at once. You spread your purchase out a little bit to catch it. Try to catch the knife. Not quite catch the knife, but, you know, get it on its way down so that you're taking advantage of the lower price and optimizing how much Bitcoin you're getting. That's when dollar cost averaging makes sense. If you're bullish on Bitcoin and you expect it to go up, then it doesn't make sense to do. So I just wish people that kind of understood what was going on a little bit better and just understood what these definitions were. So the other day, after, you know, having some conversations about dollar cost averaging and having people be confused about it, I wrote another article for getonzerofiat.com where I just gave the definitions of what dollar cost averaging and lump summing is. Because whenever you critique dollar cost averaging, there's some confusion about what it means. Kind of like how people don't necessarily know both definitions of the word peruse. And so just to say it here briefly and to pass time until Slappy comes back, a lump sum purchase is exactly that. you have a certain amount of money you want to buy Bitcoin with, or whatever you're buying, and you make the purchase all at once. Dollar cost averaging, on the other hand, is a strategy of how to take some amount of money and put it into whatever you're buying. So it's you're buying on a given interval. Let's say you have $1,000 and you're going to buy every week, you're going to buy $100 over 10 weeks. And that adds to $1,000. That is, you have lump sum versus dollar cost averaging is you have an amount of money that you want to buy Bitcoin with, and it is your strategy for when you make that purchase. And obviously you can delay a lump sum purchase. You can try to time it, which is also kind of silly. But yeah, dollar cost averaging is you have an amount of money that you're spreading out over a time period as a way to make that investment. Slap, are you back? I heard doors shutting and stuff.
I am back, yes. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yep.
Sorry, my wife is not home. And I had a kid come down and not know what, I had to take care of the kid.
Okay. Well, I was just more or less saying that the definitions of dollar cost averaging, lump sum. And so this brings us to, what's going on here? Why is this? This brings us to a tweet from River today. Oh, we're going to be doing some live tweeting because dude just responded. So River had a tweet earlier today, the power of dollar cost averaging, bicep emoji. Check out the growth of investing $50 a week in Bitcoin over the last 5 years. River zero fee recurring orders of Bitcoin are the way to stack, and DCA's. River's zero fee recurring orders of Bitcoin are the way to stack and DCA with the most efficiency. So I replied, delaying your purchase of Bitcoin is for gay bears, because it is. James Page, who is the director of product at River.
Jimmy Page.
He's also a Shohei Ohtani superfan. He replied, most people have a recurring influx of fiat on a weekly, biweekly, or monthly basis to stack more sats with. Why manually do it instead of automating it? And I said, you're not describing DCA. So he just replied just 2 minutes ago. So I'm gonna live read his tweet. Yes, you are. We are doing it.
We're behind the scene. Look.
Yeah, we're doing it live. You're gonna behind the scenes of a petty Twitter argument with Rollo McFlugel and whoever else. So Jimmy Page writes, I'm describing the one flavor of dollar cost averaging. DCA is any sort of same dollar value investing in a regular schedule. No, you're simply incorrect. Should I add something else?
Call him a name. Call me. Tell him he sounds like a gay bear.
No, you're better at guitar than understanding financial definitions.
Googled, and maybe you have already done this, but I Googled the definition of dollar cost averaging. It says the strategy, right? Important. The strategy of investing in stocks or funds at regular intervals to spread out purchases.
Yeah. Yeah, you're better at guitar than understanding financial definitions, Jimmy. Just so he make sure he gets the joke.
Yeah, but you never got that one before.
I know. You're not describing DCA with the latter. They're just not describing. Yeah. Workshopping this tweet, making it perfect. Yeah, it's goofy.
I also don't understand, and this is something on all sides of the DCA debate, why people take such a passionate stance.
Because they're wrong, Slappy.
I think it's the funniest thing.
Well, here's my issue, is because not everyone's an idiot out there. And when you have people, you have someone that's new to Bitcoin, who's maybe not, totally ignorant and, just sophomoric when it comes to basic finance stuff. And they understand these definitions a little bit. And you have Bitcoiner being like, I'm super into Bitcoin and you should be too. I'm super, super bullish. And so therefore I DCA into Bitcoin. They're gonna be like, well, that doesn't make sense. Why, if you're super bullish, why are you DCAing? It just makes us as Bitcoiners look like childish clowns that were trying to, critique the greater financial world and system, and we don't even understand the basic definitions right. Someone just liked my tweet. Ugh.
Hey.
Ella.
Hey, yeah.
Who is looking for someone to share sunsets and laughter with.
Oh, there you go.
Sunrise emoji, rocket emoji, star emoji, blast off to romance in my bio link.
There you go.
Wait.
Already.
You know what? This must be because I bought the $1,000 mug.
Exactly right.
Look at that. My day just got a little better. Hey, Elle, would you like to see a really expensive mug? I am actually, not only am I the owner of such a mug, I am the purveyor of mugs such as these. The other goofy thing, too, about this original tweet from River is that it's like, why are you, 5 years is a long time to say, oh, yeah, you should dollar cost average. Because 5 years ago, Bitcoin was not really worth much. But here's the thing, too. And this is what gets lost on a lot of people and why the conversation's difficult. Is because when you say you should just lump sum buy, people go, well, I don't have a lot of money to be able to buy Bitcoin with. People think that lump sum has some connotation of it being a lot of money, because $50 over a 5 year, $50 a week over 5 years is $13,000. And I understand that not everyone has $13,000 at any given moment to buy Bitcoin with. And so I'm not saying, oh, you should have had $13,000 5 years ago to buy Bitcoin with. The point of what I'm saying is that I think it's a better strategy that as you come up with the money, you buy Bitcoin. Like kind of what Jimmy Page is describing here. He's like, well, most people have this is the funny thing too. We can't even talk like normal human beings. And I'm beating up on Jimmy Page here. And so just, he's drawing my ire. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But I'm going to beat up on him just for the sake of the conversation, because I think it's a reflection of a larger issue among people. So, but most people have a recurring influx of fiat on a weekly, biweekly, or monthly basis to stack more sats with. a normal human being would say most people get paid, you know, once a week or once, twice a month. The recurring influx of fiat. Like, that's such a goofy, weird way of saying that, like, most people have a salary that they get paid on some, you know, once or twice a month. And that's true. And so do I. But, like, we don't call what I'm doing. So what I do, and what's funny is, it's like, well, you should automate it. And sure, yeah, I agree with that. And I do. And that's what we talk about with Get On Zero, is one of the strategies is to just use a service like Strike or Cash App to just automatically convert your paycheck into Bitcoin. But what I'm doing, and there are options, I think, in both Strike and Cash App, where you can automatically convert your paycheck into Bitcoin and DCA with that purchase. But that's not what he's talking about doing. It's just you have income that comes in, and so every time you have income, you buy Bitcoin. That's not dollar cost averaging. You're not changing your strategy as a lump sum.
Divide it by seven and pay a little bit each day.
Yeah, well, and that's the other issue I have. Well, and that's what's funny too, because it's like River is trying to. Because that's even in their bio. On their profile, you know, your little blurb. It's invest in Bitcoin with confidence, buy BTC, zero fee DCA, 100% reserve custody Lightning. So it's like their business model to promote DCA. It's not in their business model to promote.
Which is funny, because as a business, you want, as anybody, you would rather, generally speaking, have cash up front. So they're obviously not, like, what they're calling DCA is buying when you get paid.
Yeah, but I'm 99.9% sure that they have, you can DCA with them, like actually DCA.
Sure, you could.
I think that's, right, but I'm saying, like, it's, their business model is,
everyone loves a subscription, right? Where you just automatically pay for it every month.
Mm-hmm.
If I was like, I have $10,000 and I want to buy Bitcoin, they wouldn't be like, okay, well, give me $1,000 for the next month, 10 months. They'd be like, all right, we'll take the $10,000. Nobody wants to DCA as a business.
Well, I think they, I don't know if they
get $10,000 to buy Bitcoin every single month, they would say, yeah, let's DCA. It could be $10,000 every month.
Right, but I think most, I don't know the specifics of River. I'm not going to look it up right now, but I think most, you know, companies, if you were to do an actual DCA with them, you send them the money up front.
Oh, and then they buy, like, it over time. Well, that they have the money then, so that's what they want.
Yeah,
I don't know how River works.
Yeah, I would imagine that's the way it works. I'm sure it also works because it's just a lump sum buy that if you just automatically have them pull money from your checking account.
Yeah.
They'll buy Bitcoin however you want them to. You'll lump sum it every month, or they spread it out. Sorry, I missed.
I was just saying, it really, as long as they get the money up front, they don't care.
But no, it's just it's goofy to me. I don't think they have a, I don't think you can send your direct deposit from your job to River for them to just automatically buy the Bitcoin for you. Like, they're,
got your bank account.
Yeah, which, okay, like, not everyone's going, I understand that not everyone's going to do, you know, do that, just send their direct deposit. Although it does make, you know, buying Bitcoin a lot easier if you just say, hey, every time I get paid, I want to send, you know, buy a portion of my, put a portion of my money into Bitcoin. And I mean, I don't know what a lot of payroll software does, but I know with my job at least I can divvy it up among different banks and stuff. So it's on the paying side, it's not really a big deal to set that up. I don't know what their infrastructure is. I know they're building kind of their own infrastructure. So they might not have the means and the tools to take direct deposits yet. So, and that's whatever, that's fine. But I don't know. It's weird that they're promoting something goofy like that, or in a goofy way. And I don't think they're necessarily helping Bitcoiners as best as they could. So I think the point of trying to get Bitcoin to become money is to actually start using it as money. And we should try to be getting as many people on zero, or at least maximizing how much they're converting to Bitcoin. And by running a DCA thing, you're just treating it as a side investment. Not that everyone that's DCAing doesn't think that Bitcoin's going to monetize, but it just seems like more of a I'm just investing. Like, dollars are my money, but I'm just like, you know, I'm DCAing into Bitcoin like I would DCA into a stock or something. Right. And I don't know. It's I want to defeat the dollar, and so I think we should be I think companies should be, you know, putting out tools to be as aggressive as possible with getting people off the fiat standard onto a Bitcoin standard. But yeah, it's just so I don't know, like $13,000 to invest, like I don't know, just. I understand that not everyone has this, you know, big chunk of money at all times, but like, I don't know. I think I'm going to just repeat the same thing I've been saying over again. I have a new notification. Did something to do reply again?
I don't know.
He screenshotted. The term was first coined by Benjamin Graham in his book, The Intelligent Investor. Graham writes that dollar cost averaging means simply that the practitioner invests in common stocks, same number of dollars each month or each quarter. In this way, he buys more shares when the market is low than when it is high, and he's likely to end up with a satisfactory overall price for all his holdings. That's cherry picking. That's not right. That's what the goodness. Oh my. All right. We don't need to have more live tweeting.
Yeah, I think we are
talking about that. I have to not read tweets while we're, cause it knocks me off everything. How long have we been going for? I feel like we talk about dollar cost averaging all the time. Cause it's a bugaboo. Anyway, another thing that's kind of funny is that I saw a poll, I think it was Being Libertarian, posted a poll. It said, is the internet more wonderful? There we go. Would humankind be better off without the internet? 52% of people said yes. 48% said no. Currently, there are a little over 3,200 votes. That's interesting to me. Slappy, what are your thoughts?
I mean, better is a opinion. But I like having the internet.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's funny because it's obviously there's probably a lot of libertarians that are replying to that or voting on that. And it's, the internet's just a tool. Right. You can use the tool for good. You can use the tool for bad. And to say that it's like, this is bad for humanity, we shouldn't have had it. It would be like having a leftist say, guns are bad. And humans would have been better off without guns because murders happen with guns.
I can hear that. I can, all right, maybe. And I'm open to hearing that argument. Like the 1980s, no, we didn't have the internet. We certainly didn't have it in our pockets. Most families didn't have it in their house, and we got by fine, and no one knew anything was cool or good or whatever. You could argue that's better. But it's just like guns. We could argue it'd be great to have a society with no guns at all. Like nobody's getting shot, nobody's getting blown up, no missiles, no. But we do. Like, I know that's kind of beats the hypothetical, but like we do have internet. So, I mean, we could talk about if the world would be better or not, but we do. So let's figure out how to use it properly.
Well, there are certain things that are like some things can be objectively good or bad. Like, if the poll was,
yeah, good, would or you, bad, but better, like society, like,
well, no, I'm saying, because if you could ask, would society be better without murder? Obviously, yes. Like that answer is yes. Because murder is just objectively bad, and we don't want it. The internet's just like a tool. It's a neutral tool that can be used for good or bad. And the thing is, it's like, and I know that, you know, asking a libertarian this question is the worst thing in the world you can do, but it's like, all right, would you rather live in a pre-internet world in the 80s or in the world today? Because like, if you don't have the internet, you don't get to enjoy all of the things that you currently enjoy, including.
If I didn't have the internet, I wouldn't work for the company I work for.
Yeah.
Offices all over the country.
Like, we would obviously get by, like you said, in the 80s and all the time in the history of the world before that, we didn't have the internet and we got by. But it's like another one. It's gas-powered cars. Yeah, people got around before cars. But are you saying you would rather get rid of all that? And
there were people who were.
Yeah, they
destroy communities because now people can travel. Like, you have to build your own community and live there.
Yep.
I don't know the name. I've read that before. I don't remember who.
The Luddites.
But yeah. I mean, the Luddites, sure.
But yeah, every piece of new technology has people saying, we don't want that. We want to go back. And it's just over and over again. I mean, we're going to have whatever else. You know, the internet's just going to become more,
it's not going away.
We already have people that are alive that don't know what it's like before the internet or smartphones or any of that kind of stuff. And it's just going to be kind of a part of their day-to-day life, and they're just not going to be able to even, you know, outside of watching TV shows or watching movies or reading, you know, history, be like, you know, understanding what life before the internet was. Kind of like when you're a little kid and be like, yeah, we didn't always have telephones. Well, that's crazy. How in the world did you talk to each other? And so the internet's just going to kind of become like ingrained totally into our society. And then there's going to be some new technology that comes along that people are going to be like, you know, life would have been better when we just had the internet. It's just the point of this. It's just it's this general cycle that people tend to be Luddites about stuff, and they're annoying because they're super wrong, and they don't understand the nuance of, yes, a tool can be used for bad sometimes, but it doesn't make the tool bad. We have to consider all the benefits that the tool brings. So that said, all these people that think the internet's bad for humanity are free to not use it and not interact with anyone that doesn't use it. I know that's kind of unfair, but whatever. It's our podcast. All right. Well, I don't have anything else to talk about. We rambled on about, or I rambled on at least about DCing, and you're kind of in and out. So for the sake of podcast. Yeah. And guess what? It didn't turn out great. So that we sabotaged our own episode just to prove DCA isn't good. You should have just lumped Summit and just said everything all at once right in the beginning.
Oh, well.
Would have been a better show. Yep. Oh, well. So, all right. Thanks for listening. If you want to read the couple articles I wrote about what I talked about, I could put them on the show notes page, mcflugel.com/383, but I don't trust myself to feel like doing that. So just go to mcflugel.com and look at the last couple articles, and go over to getonzerofiat.com and look for that article if you want that definition, those definitions, and see this, you know, the DCA comparison thing. So, all right, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week. Yeah, your line didn't come through, Slappy.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is.
I'm giving you an opportunity to try to say it again.
Oh, we're still recording?
Yes.
My piece?
Yeah.
Huh. Peace.
There. Got it.